SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three, about 15 in, and thank Nacho Correas. Really, just always happy. You see how he refashioned his career, and you could tell that meant a lot to him on Sunday. And, of course, Blue Prize got a chance in the distaff. She'll have to run a career best, it seems. But being at Churchill, that'll help. And in advance of our handicapping work that will obviously pretty much start more or less now. The factor of Churchill as the venue, I think, considering, think about who we just talked to the last couple of days already, between Correas about her, that she's won three straight stakes at Churchill. What about Limousine Liberal coming back? I think he's 5-6 at Churchill. Then there's all the horses that, Dale Romans and Brad Cox and so forth, everybody that's based there. So that's going to be a big part of the discussion as we get closer. So John White is close at hand. In fact, he's here. And John joins us after the second weekend of Santa Anita's fall season. John, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Certainly a terrific week of racing at the Great Race Place, but in addition to that, I'm still marveling over these performances by two of the really greatest, I think, female thoroughbreds of our lifetime, and that would be Winx in Australia, who's now won 28 in a row and is headed for a chance at becoming the first four-time winner of the prestigious Cox Plate in Australia. And then, of course, Enable that you've been discussing this morning. And John Gosden, I got to know extremely well when I was a columnist, a reporter for the Racing Forum in Southern California in the early 1980s. And John Gosden had a string of horses here in Southern California, including Bates Motel, who was the Eclipse Award-winning older male of 1983. He was like a 17-hands tank, a son of Survivor, and won a Santa Anita handicap that had a huge field. Terry Lipham aboard Bates Motel for that win, and Terry Lipham, the only guy to win a Santa Anita handicap as a jockey, and the 440-yard All-American Futurity, the biggest race in quarter horse racing. So, John Gosden, such a class act, and I have to just say as kind of a side note, one of my fondest memories of the early 1980s, my wife Tracy and I were invited to a charades party at John Gosden's house, and that was an absolute blast. So who would have ever thought when I was watching John Gosden do charades that he would go on to end up winning three arcs in the last 4 years now, including back-to-back arc wins with Enable, as she becomes only the eighth horse in the history of the coveted arc to win it more than once. And back in the early 1980s, I asked Gosden one morning at Santa Anita, I said, who do you think is the greatest racehorse of all time? And he paused and reflected and thought about it, and his answer was Rebo, who was Federico Tezio's masterpiece, as described by Charles Hatton in the American Racing Manuals. And Reba was never lost, undefeated in all of his races, including two ARCs. And I can tell you, standing with John Gosden that morning at Santa Anita, when he said that he felt Reba was the greatest horse of all time, and Reba being a two-time ARC winner, I had no clue I was standing next to a guy who would go on to train a two-time ARC winner in Able. And to me, this is one of the great training jobs of my lifetime, honestly. It's hard to win an ARC. It's like winning the Kentucky Derby. I mean, think of what we've seen this year. Bob Baffert winning the Kentucky Derby with a horse that didn't run as a two-year-old, which hadn't been done since 1882. And then, of course, Justify becoming the first Triple Crown winner who had not raced as a two-year-old. So that's pretty magical stuff right there. But then this winning the ARC at two different race courses, Shanti last year, Longchamp this year, and doing it with a filly who was on the sidelines for most of the year and has one race in 2018 under her belt, and that race was on synthetic in England. And then win the ARC, and man, that filly that ran second, I mean, my goodness, what a race she ran in defeat. I mean, she was back there way back and just came flying, and a three-year-old filly that just ran too good to lose, really. And it just showed the class of Enable to be able to get the job done here. I mean, certainly it was not as good a performance as when she was dominant when winning the ARC last year, but and what a ride by Frankie Dettori. I mean, that guy, again, one of the great jockeys of our time, and just absolutely a picture-perfect ride. It had to be a perfect ride, or else he loses because the margin was so small at the end. So that's just really good stuff for anybody that loves this sport. I mean, what we're seeing in Australia with Wings, what we're seeing in Europe with Enable, and we cross our fingers and hope that we will get a chance to see Enable in the Breeders' Cup at Turf at Churchill Downs. And it is the monkey on the back for the ARC that no ARC winners won the Breeders' Cup. I think one of the main reasons for that is that it is such a taxing, that it's so taxing to win the ARC. I mean, that's such a tough race to win that it's tough then to ship halfway across the world and also win the Breeders' Cup. We've had a number of ARC horses that didn't win the ARC come out of the ARC and win the Breeders' Cup, but we have yet to get an ARC winner to do it. But if there's any trainer that can pull it off again, it is Mr. John Gosden. As I say, one of the classiest guys I've ever had the privilege to know in this game.
Well, the return to the U.S. with a big shot, and the European bookmakers are installed her as a turf favorite, and every indication based on what we heard from Garrett O'Rourke yesterday and then subsequently today, it seems like she will be a part. So that clearly adds to the whole international appeal of Breeders' Cup, getting a horse like her. And there's going to be a lot of the Euros to keep the tabs on. In the meantime, John, from the domestic standpoint, some thoughts on what we saw at Santa Anita, and that includes, of course, yesterday you had the two-year-olds and the turf opportunity and the Surfer Girl, Mizuma Beach, and Peter Miller moving forward with an assault on the sprint, both dirt and turf. We're going to talk to Peter. Got to get to Mark Glad about Sharp Samurai as well, and Brian Corner. It's going to hurt the violence that won the speakeasy, and it was great to see Bill Spar snap back with Sky Diamonds and get her back in the pink to win the LA Woman. Some thoughts about the headliners from the weekend.
Well, to start with the race you just talked about last, there, Sky Diamonds kind of surprised me because she just, to me, had not had the same spark this year that she had demonstrated last year. And so for her to step back up and get a 91 buyer and win that race and win it the way she did, certainly the big disappointment in that race, I would have to say, was Uvetsi. I mean, wow, what a clunker she ran. But this win by Sky Diamonds was really good. And it's an illustration, again, of another very good trainer, and that's Bill Sparr. I mean, this guy is just, I have such tremendous respect for him. And, you know, it's not like Sky Diamonds was embarrassing herself this year. But, I mean, she was 0-5 for this year going into the L.A. Woman. And I made her 7-2 on the morning line. And part of it was just out of respect for her overall career. Part of it was out of respect for Sparr. I mean, I don't want to, like, go too high on her. And she went off at 9-2. And she made 9-2 look like a really nice price the way she won. I mean, she just went right by anonymity pretty much in the lane. So, in a way, a disappointing effort, I feel, from anonymity that, you know, a heavy odds-on favorite in that race. Now it's back-to-back losses as an odds-on favorite for her. So she's a nice filly, though, a Tapa filly, with another of the great trainers of our time, Richard Mandela, who, of course, has shown that on a couple of the Breeders' Cup cards, 1993 and 2003. And Roy H. certainly stepped up here and turned the tables on Ransom the Moon, and I think we'll head back to the Breeders' Cup as one of the major players without question. It kind of sets up a mouth-watering rematch from last year's Breeders' Cup sprint, in which Imperial Hint finished second to Roy H. at Del Mar, and they'll have the rematch in Kentucky at Churchill. And we'll see, you know, the way Imperial Hint's winning, especially that Vosburgh, which was nothing more than basically a paid workout in a grade one race. I mean, that's one of the easiest winners I think we've seen this year anywhere. Certainly he's at the top of his game, but Roy H., I think, certainly seems to be at the top of his game going back to the Breeders' Cup this year. I mean, and the buyer proves that with a 105, you know. I mean, it was a big improvement for him off the Bing Crosby when he got a 96. So Roy H. for Miller really, I think, has a pretty good chance to maybe defend his title. But on the other hand, you've got to really respect Imperial Hint, and there's plenty of others in that division, too. I mean, we've had some kind of weakish Breeders' Cup sprints in recent years, but I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I have a lot of respect for Promises Fulfilled. I think he's the real deal for Dale Romans. I mean, this is a really top colt, I mean, who's got the kind of class to win the Fountain of Youth around two turns. But, you know, has rattled off these three consecutive wins in sprints, including the Phoenix, in a very game performance against Whitmore. Limousine Liberal had an absolute nightmare trip in that race, and I don't, you know, he's not one to take lightly at all. So the sprint's actually one of the races I'm looking forward to the most at this year's Breeders' Cup, the way some really outstanding sprinters are heading into it, you know, in very good form.
Agreed, and it will be nice and to have a what feels like a little bit more of a little more depth in the sprint division than in the last couple of years. I mean, it's strange, really, and this has come up, John, come up with Hammer and actually in New York too. For whatever reason, you would think that there'd be no problem rounding up, you know, sprinters for any sprint stake, and yet we've had a steady diet of shorter fields in the sprint races, and I can't really explain it. And I mean, when it comes to the Breeders' Cup, I suppose because of the presence of the dirt mile siphoning, you know, some horses off, you know, the 7/8 types that, you know, that especially at Churchill, where we can run the one turn configuration, would take away. But it is strange that, you know, the sprint and I guess the other part of it is the filly and mares. What was it in 2007? I think we started the filly and mare division, and you know the best filly sprinters in the country used to participate in the Breeders' Cup sprint, and in fact some of the best moments in sprint history involve fillies like Extra Heat.
Yeah, it is rather, I mean, quizzical, particularly I feel like in California, because we've always been known here in Southern California for speed, and
yep.
you just kind of scratch your head and go, you know, and I feel for Rick Amerley, because it's like he can't just snap his fingers and have these horses appear. You know, I mean, and it isn't just a one or two race deal. It's, you know, it seems like the majority of these graded stakes races for sprinters in Southern California throughout the year have drawn smallish fields, and which you just, it's like I say, it's perplexing for sure. One other performance I did want to mention that impressed me was Fahm Mura winning the Swing Time, because this filly has really impressed me in that, you know, she was a $40,000 claim in New York and earlier in her career, and it was running for $32,000 claiming, and but boy, what a year she's had. She's won 6 out of 8 this year, and take a look at her two losses. One of her two losses was in the Grade 2 New York at Belmont, won by 4 Stars Crook, who only won the Flower Bowl over the weekend, and Sister Charlie, who's regarded as the number one turf distaffer in North America. So that's one of her losses, and she only got beat 5 lengths by 4 Stars Crook, so that's not exactly an embarrassment, and she'd opened up a 9-length lead in that race early. And her other loss, she finished 3rd behind somebody by the name of, now, according to Randy Moss, my friend from Louisiana Downs, we worked together there in 1980, he took the gumption to call the breeder of who we've all been calling Vasilica, and the breeder says it should be Vasilica. So Fahm Mura, in one of her other two losses this year, in the Grade 2 maybe at Del Mar, was 3rd behind Vasilica and Cambodia. Other than that, she's perfect this year. She won from the 10 hole, which, again, I think of Rick Amerley, because here's Rick Amerley. How many times have we heard him say, don't worry about those outside posts on the turf in the routes? Well, there's yet another example of that. And so it really flatters Vasilica again here, too. I mean, who has this 7-race winning streak and won the Grade 1 Rodeo Drive. I mean, it shows that she hasn't exactly been beaten, you know, chopped liver here when she beats the likes of Cambodia and Fahm Mura in the maybe. And then, of course, last time out, Vasilica, I thought Paved just ran really. Paved is a, you know, Michael McCarthy has had such a good year this year, and he's been confident and excited about Paved all year. And that filly really lived up to the expectations. I mean, ran just a terrific race in defeat there in that Rodeo Drive. So, but anyway, that Fahm Mura, to me, not only flattered herself by winning the Swing Time, but also flattered Vasilica with that victory.
You know, the clarification on Vasilica's name, it reminds me of the early reaction to Goldakova, because there was a couple of moments where it was we were unsure about what the pronunciation was going to be with her, and I can myself remember calling her as instead of Goldakova as I forgot. How did I? I'm trying to remember back. Gold.
Yeah, I remember. I say,
Goldikova.
Yeah, that's it.
The Goldikova was because it had that, you know, much like Vasilica, which is, you know, which is a, as I mentioned, who was I guess I was talking to Sadler, and I, because I thought that. If I'm not mistaken, Vasilica is in Greece, and you know, the emphasis on you know, whatever syllable, and so I think I started out calling her Goldikova before we got the official Goldikova.
Well, you talk about horse names, you brought back a very fond memory for me of a Breeders' Cup in the 1980s that I was in the press room, sitting at a table with the late, great Bill Leggett of Sports Illustrated. Just a wonderful guy. I mean, he was such a down-to-earth guy, great sense of humor, tremendous writer. I mean, one of the best racing writers to me of all time. Bill Leggett wrote a thing that I saved from the Racing Times. It was one of the most hilarious things I've ever read. It was about the fall high weight, and he called it the fizz because it was such an anachronism to have this race in which they were assigning these weights of 136 pounds, 140 pounds, and what have you. And he went through this whole thing about the fizz and how they determined the weight for the fizz. They had this bird that would go off into the someplace and pick up these pellets or beads or something, and that they would do the math with these pellets. But it was just so beautifully written, so hilarious. But sitting with Bill at that Breeders' Cup, Festine from the Ron McAnally barn was running
the Argentinian
at that time. And there was a big, nobody could figure out whether it was Festin or Festine. And Leggett just looks at me and he goes, "You know, I think we should just call him the F horse." And so that's what we did for the rest of the breed. What chances do you think the F horse has in that race? Some of these pronunciations could get very, very tricky. I'll tell you, that was one thing I worked very hard on at HRTV. I mean, even in terms of racetracks, I remember calling a racetrack once because we were doing harness racing from it, because I wanted to know if it was Monticello or Monticello. So I actually called the racetrack to see, you know, and that's where I appreciate what Randy Moss did, that he called the breeder. I mean, that's, you know, going the extra mile, and I thought, wow, you know, so I should, you know, if he's gone to the trouble to call the breeder, and the breeder says, well, that's how it should be, I'm certainly going to go down that road. But I think, unfortunately, she's been called Basilica so much throughout the course of this year. She's won so many races, it's going to be hard to kind of get everybody the same page here.
Well, John, folding in beside the weekend at Santa Anita and what we saw, give us a take of who else impressed you, Keeneland and Belmont, and as you start to do your, you know, your serious work toward Breeders' Cup, a couple of thoughts on that side of things.
Well, that Champagne winner, I thought, was very impressive, certainly. But I'll tell you another one is the filly that I talked about on your show earlier this year, and is living up, not surprisingly, to the expectations of Ken McPeak, and that is Restless Rider. This is a filly that I was absolutely blown away with her race in the debutante. And I said to your listeners at that time, if you haven't seen that race, I urge you to go and watch the replay of that debutante at Churchill, because it's one of the most amazing performances I've ever seen. There was a horse that stopped, you know, I mean stopped abruptly, like it was going wrong, heading into the turn, and Restless Rider got stopped cold. I mean, it wasn't one of those where you just checked a bit or steadied. She got stopped cold and ended up winning that race by 11 and a quarter lengths going six furlongs. And it was the fastest debutante, in its history, and that race is over 100 years old. So I remember raving about it on your show, and then she, you know, at that, you got McPeak on, and he said, this filly is the most talented filly I've had since Take Charge Lady. Well, when he says that, off of what I also saw, that's about all I needed to be a fan of this filly. And McPeak said, we're going to aim her for the spinaway. Well, where did she show up? The spinaway. And I was a little disappointed she didn't win the spinaway, considering how high I was on her off of the debutante. But then she came out in this big field of 14 in the Alcibiades and just, won very, very nicely there in her first race around two turns. So, you know, I just was such a big Take Charge Lady fan. You know, she ran as good as you can run to not win a race in the Apple Blossom against Azeri, when Azeri was an absolute win machine and ended up being a horse of the year. And I just feel like anybody, if you put this filly in the same breath as the Take Charge Lady, that this is certainly a filly that needs to be taken seriously every time she shows up. But you know what? This two-year-old filly division's getting kind of salty, too, because Bellafina, we've got here in Southern California, and you've got the winner of the Frisette, who looked very good. And so, I mean, this is and then the Serengeti Empress, who I know, Andy makes the point, Andy Serling makes the very valid point, that a lot of times when fillies win by big margins, that it's a reflection of who they're beating, and it's kind of makes them maybe look better than they really are. Although, if you went with that same thinking, you'd say, well, gee, you know, Secretariat won the Belmont by 31, so, you know, it's a reflection of who he was beating. Well, you know, those weren't bums behind him, and he ran the best race that we'll ever see in North America. So, I mean, it isn't always that the big margins are to be poo-pooed, but I mean, Andy's points well taken, because one of the things, again, what kind of a speed figure did she get, Serengeti Empress, in that Pocahontas? She only got a 78, so it wasn't like, I would be more impressed with a little bit if she'd been at least in the higher 80s or something. But you can go on the other hand of that and say, well, what do you expect her to win by, 40? You know, when they're winning by almost 20, you know, you don't really feel like they should be needed to be asked any more than that. So, and look, Tom Amos has been around a long time. You've had him on your show, and he talked about this filly, and he's been high on her even before the Pocahontas. And so, I mean, this is a serious filly, too, in my mind. So this is another race to me that is very interesting heading to the Breeders' Cup, this juvenile fillies right now, especially since, as I say, I'm kind of on this a restless rider bandwagon, just, you know, because you kind of get on board early in the career and you string along. But, you know, Bella Fina, you know, Simon Callahan has said that's the best filly he's ever trained. And, of course, he only trained Abel Tasman at the start of her career. So
right.
that tells you something about her right there.
Now, John, we got some serious work now to do and monitor the probable fields. And we'll start to get ready. Just a couple of weeks away from heading to Churchill and the Breeders' Cup. It's unbelievable. We're ready.
No better place to keep up on Breeders' Cup news and thoughts and opinions and so forth than At the Races with Steve Beck.
Thank you. Well, everybody contributes. And we'll get some contributions from Todd Pletcher before we wrap up. Current adds his name to the juvenile turf listing and more. A few other horses to catch up on with Todd after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 3-8-4-6-4-3.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
To fill out the Tuesday edition. And, you know, Andy said something earlier, and I didn't get a chance while he was still on to follow it up. You know, he mentioned that Meg came and saw him yesterday at Belmont. And I got to extend, for those that may not be, that may not have seen it, Rich's brother-in-law, Carmela's brother, Frank, passed away unexpectedly late last week. And our sympathies to Mel and to the whole family. And Rich was exchanged a couple of notes with Rich and said to everybody, shocked and stunned. And so, and also, I guess on this topic, I was late to this news too. Gary told me the other day that George Velasquez, George's son's wife, George's daughter-in-law, after an illness, passed, and so thinking about both the families, and of course up here, everybody just horrified by the accident just right down in Schoharie on Saturday. I mean, mind-numbing what transpired here. So, all right, happier topics. And we got a table Todd for tomorrow. And got a chance, though, to catch up with Pete Miller, who is lining up all of the sprinters, round up the usual suspects, Pete. Roy H. and Stormy Liberal the last couple of weekends. And I was kidding, Christophe Clement. You, Clement, and Jason Service, you guys could run your own Breeders' Cup turf sprint.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I wouldn't mind.
Congratulations. You know, it's tough when you get, as an Eagle fan, I can tell you, when you have a winner and a champion and then you got to try to bring them back the next year, it's not easy, but it feels like you got Roy H., you know, coming around at the right time, and Stormy Liberal seems to have just maintained his form all year.
Yeah, no, we've been very fortunate. You know, both horses really, you know, like you said, Stormy's been good all year, but Roy H. looks like he's really coming around at the right time. So, you know, we're excited for the Breeders' Cup.
You know, it's funny, too, I forget who it was years ago that said this to me about sprinters, and that when it came to the Breeders' Cup recency and having a horse in form and all of this, it was important, except for sprinters, that you could bring sprinters in, you know, off of a layoff or tune them up late. And you know, given your success, I mean, do you have a kind of a context for something like that?
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. You know, Stormy Liberal won off a, I don't know, 6 month layoff last year in the Breeders' Cup. And sprinters definitely don't need the recency, you know, that horses running a mile and more tend to need.
You also, of course, have got supporting players for all of these, and we really shouldn't talk about Stormy's performance without also including Conquest, who ran a winning race, more or less.
He really did. He ran huge, and you know, we're looking at possibly the Breeders' Cup Turf with, sprint with him, and Richard's Boy. We're going to prep him next on the 20th in a little Calbred 5/8 stake. So, yeah, we could possibly have three. Even Belvoir Bay, we're running in the Buffalo Trace and at Keeneland Friday. And if she were to run real big, she'd be considered too, as she's beaten the boys in the past. So, you know, it's a good time. I wish I could spread them out amongst a bunch more races, but it's just the way the cards were dealt.
Is Distinctive B still, you know, I had Distinctive on a list. Is still going to be considered or not?
Absolutely. No, definitely want to consider Distinctive B. We think he ran a super race, and he's, you know, this would be his third race on a comeback. Should be his best race. And, you know, he'll compliment Roy H because he's got a lot of speed. And yep. So we want to make sure that there's an honest pace in front of Roy H.
Well, of course, last year, Peter's best year as a professional, and you're very quickly approaching those numbers from a year ago. And obviously, a Breeders' Cup winner or two again might eclipse last year. And a couple of other horses of note beside the sprinters, you got a terrific performance in the City of Hope from Fly to Mars.
Yeah, Fly to Mars really ran well. Actually, we're appealing that. No one I've talked to could see how they called the other horse the winner. You know, it looked like a dead heat to everyone that's seen the photo. So we're going to appeal that. And it's really on another, you know, on that subject. It's crazy that horse racing is still using 1970s, 1980s technology when all other sports, from the Olympics to even bicycle racing, has superior technology when it comes to photo finishes. It's really a disgrace to the gambler and to the owners and trainers and everyone involved that you know, we're still in 1980 with our technology. But hopefully, you know, I know it costs money, but I think the gamblers and all the owners and trainers and jockeys deserve better.
Wow, that's interesting to hear. Actually, the photograph. It's funny because it, I was watching it on the phone, so it's hard to, you don't take it too seriously when you're looking at the phone. It looks so close that you can't, you just assume, and I have not seen the mirror image or the photograph, so I'll dig it up.
I saw it, and you can't see, and it's really unfair to the betting public and the owners. If it's that close where you can't see, I don't know how you call a winner. But again, you know, you look at Australia and Hong Kong racing, they have a definitive line, and they can tell you a photo finish within 5 or 10 seconds. And in the United States, it takes 5 or 10 minutes. And they move the line. I've seen the technology. They actually move the finish line up in the booth on a computer. And it's ridiculous. Honestly, it's ridiculous that the Tour de France has better technology. Australia, Hong Kong, and horse racing. The Olympics, I mean, they run a 100-meter dash, and they know within 1/100th of a second who the winner was and who was second. And it's just, it's kind of a dirty little secret in horse racing in the United States that our technology is really a joke. And, hopefully the Breeders' Cup does something about it. And these racetracks, you know, Magna and all the racetracks should spend the money. There's no reason, there should be no doubt. It should either be this horse won, that horse won, or it's a tie. But to have people debating photo finishes in this day and age is pretty ridiculous.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, meanwhile, the decision on what do you do with Fly to Mars?
That's going to be a Gary Barber as the owner, and you know he'd need to be supplemented. So it's a you know large cost, and so we're you know that's strictly up to Mr. Barber and what he wants to do. You know, if I had a vote, I'd say, you know, let's go. I think the horse is as good as any miler in the country right now. And, you know, but it's a different, you know, as you know, they have different turf courses on the East Coast than we do on the West Coast. Their turf courses are sand-based, and our turf courses are dirt-based. So, you know, it would really be a big gambler, but there's no bigger gambler in the game than Gary Barber.
Fair. That's a point well made. Quick hit coming out of the Alcibiades. A Bougie Girl who had some backers. I think some people were, you know, were kind of hoping. And she ran okay, but that field kind of spread out.
Yeah, she had, you know, she broke good, but about her third stride in, she stumbled bad and grabbed a quarter. And pretty severely. And so for her to run fifth after that, you know, I thought was a good effort. And that track was very speed biased. If you weren't up close that day, you didn't have a chance. So, no, I was, you know, pleased with her effort. But we're going to regroup and, you know, look to take a step back with her and, you know, maybe, you know, try a little easier game next time and try and develop her.
Well, meanwhile, a lot of good things happening, and Pete Miller's team coming hard with a bunch of sprinters for turf and for the dirt side as well. Pete, keep them all happy, healthy, and we'll look forward to seeing you at Churchill.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it as always.
As do we. Peter Miller, maybe bringing three. The dirt side. He's going to be tough. He's trying to author a repeat in the turf sprint and in the dirt sprint. And a lot of the same, you know, a lot of the same players are back, right? The Imperial Hint against Roy H again, and Disco Partner and others, Buchero, etc. for the turf sprint. But it'll be different down the hill and shortening up here at Churchill 5.5. Want to thank Christophe Clement. A lot of fun. Andy Serling, John Service, John White, Andy, and who else? What else we do today? Peter Miller just now. We'll get Todd for tomorrow. Sid Fernando tomorrow, and much, much more. Good luck if you're playing today. It's got the stake at Finger Lakes, and we'll talk to you in the morning.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.